In your Bible, please, Paul's letter to the church at Philippi, the second of seven letters that would come during that time of his imprisonment, 60 AD till 67 AD, with a short time between the first Roman imprisonment and the second. This is the second, the first being the letter to the church at Ephesus. And our attention once again this morning will be at verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And in our previous studies, we recognize that that prize, that goal is conformity to the image of Christ. Paul writes in his epistle to the church at Rome, those whom God has called, he has predestined to be justified, declared right before him. And those whom he has justified, he also has glorified. There is a perfection that all believers in Christ Jesus have presently. We are seen in him perfect before Almighty God. But there is at the same time a perfection that is part of the process of that sanctification, being set apart unto him. The moment we believe in Christ, we are sanctified, set apart unto him. But also, there is that progressive, practical being set apart unto him until we are glorified, until we are perfect in Christ Jesus, presented as such. And so, Paul is writing to this church, first founded church on the continent of Europe, a church now 10 years old, and he is encouraging the believers. And this letter would come down to us through the ages to be all that God has already declared us to be, perfect before him. A perfection that is already a reality, but a perfection that is also part of the process of being set apart unto him until, in body and in behavior, we will be to his eternal praise. Until that happens, Paul is saying, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing on to the goal, the upward call, to be conformed perfectly, completely into the image of Christ. Until that happens, to behave as people who belong to him, to have a conduct in keeping with our calling, to be a people called out to be to the praise of his eternal glory, conformed to the image of Christ. And that's what we have been looking at from verse 12 especially down through verse 14. Last week and again this morning, therefore, since this is true, therefore, let as many as are mature who have come to a degree of perfection, haven't obtained it yet fully, but where you are in your process of being perfected, live up to that. And those who come to that reality are one with me and other believers, having this same understanding. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. A mind that we're in a process of perfection, ultimately to be perfectly conformed to his, Christ's, image. And that is to God's eternal praise. That's his whole purpose. And if anything, you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk. And in my translation, and maybe the one you're having there before you, that expression to the degree is in italics, which means it's not in the text, but it is put there because we have English texts that are to be understood that has been given in the Greek, and not always does the English word allow us to understand what that one word means in the Greek. It has to be amplified because the Greek has more of a meaning. And so he's saying here, very simply, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, let us walk. If you haven't noticed, none of us are exactly living our lives in Christ Jesus the same. Now, the standard hasn't changed. It's perfection in Christ Jesus. It's being conformed to his image. And all of us are in that process. And all of us are uniquely going through that process. So that what God is doing by his Spirit in you, for you, is unique to your journey, to your pilgrimage, to your process of being conformed unto the image of Christ. The scriptures are very clear in so many places that we're not to be looking around. We're to be looking up. Because as we look around, the things of this world will cause us not to be yielded to the conformity of Christ. If we look around, it's easy to find fault in others who are going through that same process. Don't judge your brother. That's God's work. But here's the exhortation. To that which you individually have obtained as far as your perfection, the process of being conformed to the image of Christ, live up to that. So we have a responsibility. We haven't obtained yet that perfection, no. But that in no way should influence the process. The process should be pressing forward, always desiring to be more yielded to the Spirit's conforming us to Christ. I don't mean to not speak to the ladies in this regard, but most guys who have had any kind of athletic experience and have gone into the weight room know that it's always good to be working out with someone, especially if you have a trainer or a spotter, so that when you get to that point that you don't think you can go any further, the one that you're working out with or the trainer encourages you, give me more. One more rep. Five more reps. I remember more than one coach that used to say, drop and give me 10. And push-ups. And when you got to 10, give me 10 more. And 10 more. And it was always pushing beyond what you think you can do. The only problem with that is that the one encouraging you to do that didn't provide the strength to do it. But that's not the case in what the Spirit of God is calling us to. 10 more. 10 more. Come on, there's more. Keep growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because there's so much more. Don't stop. Press on. But here's the important thing. The one who's encouraging, the one who is challenging, provides the strength to do it. He's given to us the Holy Spirit living within us to be able to do 10 more, to be able to do more and more of allowing Him to produce Christ-likeness, to allow Him to conform us into the image of Christ. That takes us where we were last week, to the first of the prison epistles of the Apostle Paul, Ephesians. You'll remember in Ephesians chapter 1, at verse 3, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. God has and continues to provide Himself to work in us and through us to conform us into the image of His Son. And He's held nothing back. And He already sees us in the heavenlies, perfect, in Christ. The single most significant statement in all of the Scriptures, single most significant statement in all of Scriptures, is that little prepositional phrase, in Christ. In Christ Jesus. That's what it's all about. And by virtue of us being in Christ Jesus, simple faith in His finished work, death, burial, resurrection, He sees us there, in Christ, perfect. But keep on going. Because that perfection, that being conformed to the image of my Son, is not a done deal yet in your practical experience. It's going to be, and it is as far as I'm concerned, but press on. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Just as He chose us in Him. There it is again. Before the foundation of the world, The master plan of Messiah is the master plan of the eternal God. As far as God's concerned, it had no beginning. The plan was always, because he is always. He didn't think it up. It always was, because he always is. I am. And so because of who he is, because of his character, his conduct is toward us. Before the foundation, he put a plan in place to specifically call you and me. In that sense, we have nothing to do with the relationship we have with God, except that he revealed to us how that will be experienced. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. It's a good thing. It's God doing it because we couldn't. There is nothing within us naturally as a human being that would allow us to stand before a holy and righteous God blameless. Can't do it. And he says, you don't have to. I've already done it for you. I see you in my son. Perfect, holy, blameless. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. No judgment. Why? That which has separated us from God, sin, has been cared for. And now he sees us in Christ, our sin bearer, holy, set apart unto him, blameless, no sin. In love, having predestined us to adoption as sons, by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Adoption of sons. Galatians chapter 4. In the fullness of time, in the perfect point in time in God's eternal plan, he sent forth his son. Born of a woman. Yes, remember when he began to reveal to us that plan formulated before the foundation of the world, now being enacted during time and space. The woman, the seed of the woman, would satisfy what sin had caused to bring havoc to God's creation. The seed of the woman, the Christ, born of a virgin, seed of a woman, not a man. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, to redeem those to, in that word, purchase. We have in our English Bible several places where the word redeemed is used, redemption. And in the English translation, redemption has the meaning of two Greek words, not one. in here. This redemption that God has provided through the seed of the woman is the purchasing of us. It's the word agorazo. I like that word. Agorazo. It's to purchase. In the fullness of time, through the seed of the woman, God brought forth redemption. Agorazo, the purchasing of us. And that word also has a little prefix in front of it. Ek agorazo, which emphasizes that this purchase was one of purchasing us ek out. We were in sin. We were in the slavery of sin, dominated by sin, under control of sin, Satan. But he bought us. He purchased us. The price that he paid? The blood of his own son. And he purchased us out of that enslavement. The slavery of sin. He took that punishment in our behalf. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be declared and thus be the righteousness of God in him. What a great transaction in our benefit. Ekakarazo. Redemption. Unto the adoption of sons. Now, we know because we've heard and read about the new birth. That is, of course, absolutely necessary for one to enter into the kingdom of heaven. For anyone to have a right into God's eternal bliss. And that was made possible through the shedding of Christ's blood. If any man be born again, he is a new creation. But that is for our being a son, a child of God. We relate to him now in an intimate, personal way. But the adoption of sons is not the birth of the Son. That's by simple faith in him. But also, the moment we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're no longer just an infant, a child in the family. He sees us as adults. He has placed us, not born us, he's done that, but he's also placed us as sons, full-fledged sons, with an inheritance. He's my father. He's your father. And everything that he has awaiting us is awaiting us because he's adopted us. We don't belong here, but he's adopted us as full sons, placed us into the body of Christ. He's made us his children. Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. That's by birth, but as adoption, placed as adults. All of the blessings of an adult, of his son, of his adult son, the responsibility that comes with living now as a image of the Father, as a son. That's what Jesus did. The Word became flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The placement of us as adopted sons is that now we have everything that God has promised for us. But with that, comes responsibility. See, we're no longer, you know, we're not nursing. There's the wonderfulness of the milk of the word. But Paul says, hey, you had enough of that. Now you need the meat, because you can partake of that as adults. There's more. I press on. I don't have to be on pavlum. I don't have to be on a, what are those things, suckers? Pacifiers. Well, unfortunately, a lot of the Christian living is as, oh yes, loving children, but still nursing. But that is not what God has called us to. He's called us to adult sons with all the blessings as well as all of the responsibilities. Why? Because there's more. There's more. Give me 10. Give me 10 more. Pressing on. Not yet perfected, yet in the process of that perfection being conformed to the image of Christ, which is to the eternal praise of the Father. I could, and I won't, because it's not our purpose to spend the months that are necessary to delve into the depths of Ephesians chapter 1. But let me just reinforce this aspect this morning thus far, because here it comes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, without blame, before him, in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's all part of his plan. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Look at verse 12. Find your way down to verse 12. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. That's the purpose for which God has called us and created us anew in Christ. Look at verse 14. Who, that is the Spirit of God. Well, let me begin at verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the, every word we just read, I could spend a week on. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? I'm a son, it's all mine, until the redemption. Well, remember I said there are two words in the Greek that we translate in the English, redeem? Here's the other word, the redemption, the loosing. See, akarazo, he purchased us. Ek akarazo, he purchased us. Out. Loose. The word here is the word in the Greek language. It means to set free. The apoloosin. You remember your first year in Greek? The first word that you learned to conjugate? Luo, luo, luis, luo. Yeah, you remember that. The word to loose, to release from, to set free from. Why am I saying from? Because the word here is apa, see, akarazo, ek, little prefix, out, Lous, luo, apolutrosin, hear this word. You have been set free from, set apart so far that sin has no relationship to you anymore. Free from the penalty of sin. Free from the power of sin. Free from the ultimate presence of sin. I'm going to be able to live with you forever in an intimate personal relationship. You know why? No sin. There's no sin, ultimately, for us to experience. We have been set free from every aspect of sin, its penalty, its power, and its ultimate presence. For what purpose? Until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. That's what Paul's talking about in Philippians. We're people called through a purchase that was made in our behalf. The price for that which keeps us separated from God has been cared for, the precious blood of his Son. Purchased. But I've also not only been paid for, the result of that has been the setting free from the purchase of us from sin. And the purpose for which he did that was to call the people out unto himself to his eternal praise, being in the process of conformed to the image of his Son. You talk about a great life. That's why the scriptures keep reminding us, don't look around. You keep looking up to the praise of his eternal glory. Walk that way. Lord willing, next week. Thank you, Lord, for these moments together. To be reminded of what you have done in our behalf through Christ Jesus. What you have saved us unto. The ultimate praise to your eternal glory. Until then, to press on. By the empowering of your Spirit. To gain the prize of the upward call. Conformity unto the image of your Son, our Savior. Thank you. Now and for eternity. In Christ's name.